Welcome back to a bonus episode of the Council of Elrond. In today's episode, we are going to break down a highly recommended fan edit of the Hobbit trilogy called The Cardinal Cut. We aren't going to break down scene by scene what was changed, but try to give you guys an idea of what was omitted and if we would recommend watching this version. I'm Dave, and with me is my brother and co-host, Johnny.
Good morning.
What do you mean? Do you mean to wish me a good morning, or do you mean that it is a good morning whether I want it or not? Or perhaps you mean to say that you feel good on this particular morning. Or are you simply stating that this is a morning to be good on?
So welcome back to this bonus and unintended episode of The Council of Elrond.
Season 1.5,
yeah. So it's good to be back.
Yeah, great to be back.
So it is good to be back. I've missed doing the recordings and, you know, missed looking up Lord of the Rings information.
Have you missed me?
I've missed you. I know, yeah. It's been like, what, a week?
Yeah.
Been gone.
About a week, but also just our weekly organized Lord of the Rings conversations. When we were together over Christmas, we had to have, you know, disorganized conversations about Lord of the Rings, which we were, it was not good.
And I suppose we both just kind of thought it'd be cool to watch this Cardinal Cut of the Hobbit movie. And then we were like, well, let's give it a review, or let's give the people our thoughts on it.
And yeah, I suppose that's one of the things now that when it comes to you and I having just general Lord of the Rings conversations, if we think, oh, well, actually, let's maybe save that conversation for the podcast, because as I'm sure most of our listeners know already, this is what we would probably do in our off time anyway. Or if we didn't have this podcast, we'd just be, you know, calling each other up and having a little conversation about what we thought about this movie, or what our thoughts are on particular things. So yeah, we both wanted to watch this fan edit, and we thought, well, let's let our listeners know about it as well, and maybe it can be of interest to some of you guys as well, and see if you would like to watch this edit or any other of the fan edits that are out there as well.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll probably, we'll put a link to this in the podcast description, so you guys can watch it too, because it's freely available to download or watch online. So just to let you guys know as well that we are starting production on season 2, and we're still working on some things, and we'll let you know before we actually come up with the launch date, but it will be down the line. But anything to add, John?
Not particularly. We are kind of busy at the moment, at the beginning of the new year and all that. So we've got lots of ideas. We're going to try and make it nice and exciting, keep the content interesting. And yeah, as Dave said, we will let you guys know as soon as possible about the new launch date.
Mm. And we're busy.
Like, we're super busy, you guys.
We got things to do, like, you know.
watch fan edits of The Hobbit.
we had a little bit of time. I know you guys know from our most recent podcast, the Christmas episode, we were saying that we were going to take a little bit of time off. Johnny came over to Ireland. We had some fun. You know, I'm going back to college now. Johnny's going back to work. I'm also going back to work as well. So there's limited time where we actually get to do the podcast and the recording. So we're going to be busy, and obviously there's a great amount of research and stuff that goes into the podcast before we actually do them, even though it looks like we're winging it all the time. But believe you me, there is a little bit of research that goes into this.
Just a
smidge. So yes, on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the fan edit of the Hobbit movie called The Cardinal Cut, but we're also going to have a little update for you guys on some of the events that transpired over the Christmas holidays concerning ourselves and the Tolkien Society. I'm sure many of you have heard about this already, but we're just going to give our side to the story, and it'll be the last time we mention it, don't worry. But so that'll be maybe towards the later end of the podcast. And we'll also give you guys a little update on what we did over the Christmas for fun, and maybe some things that we got. We got a couple of Tolkien inspired goodies, some Lord of the Rings gifts. Mm-hmm. So stick around for the end of the podcast to hear about that.
More to come.
It is a gift to the foes of Mordor.
So to start off, we have mainly a lot of an unexpected journey remained the same, particularly like the start of the movie with the dwarves coming in. But of course, the very, very start, the opening scene was changed where they cut the Frodo scenes and the flashback to the flashback to Azog fighting the dwarves. Necessary changes, I believe.
Yeah, again, just kind of, you know, there weren't stuff that were really, really important for the movie. And yeah, I think that whole flashback scene with Azog, it's like, it was fine to see it, but we kind of hear about it later on, being like, we're told about it later on then again by the dwarves. And I think that's probably enough. We don't actually need to really see it. So yeah, a lot of that kind of filler that was kind of just, and like Frodo's appearance, it was just fan service, really. It was just like, oh, remember this guy, you like him. We're going to, you know, he's joined to this story as well. So I think sometimes movies do that when they're trying to connect to something that they know there's a huge audience that loves it already. So they're like, like we saw that as well in the cartoon versions, even when we spoke about when we did our review on that recently, on the Return of the King. Yeah,
well, no, the Return of the King.
It showed that, like, oh, we are Rankin Bass. We are the same company that made the Hobbit movie, which was a much bigger success. So, and they were like, they put in loads of scenes from that at the beginning as well. So I think maybe it was a little bit of that, you know. But then again, when I saw it initially in the cinema, I was very, you know, happy to see Frodo there. You know, it's just nostalgic. You know, I thought it was great. So, I mean, I didn't dislike that scene, but I understand the reason for cutting it.
Yeah, and I think the start of this Cardinal Cut version really sets up two things that the editor was trying to show us. First of all, that they're taking out not just the fan service, but everything that linked or connected it to Lord of the Rings trilogy unnecessarily. Mm. Like you, I also loved seeing Frodo in the cinema, and I was like, oh, this is great, we're back in Middle Earth or whatever, but it's not needed. And secondly, the fact that they cut out the Azog flashback, that's basically a flashback that sets up the whole Azog storyline. And as we're going to get into it, we're going to see they pretty much cut a lot of these secondary storylines that weren't really needed, that were just like mentions in the appendices or maybe one line in the book. So so that's what we're going to see throughout a lot of these cuts. So yeah, actually, before we get into the rest of the movie, I just want to ask you, what was your actual opinion on it? Did you like it, or did you hate it, or would you see it again?
Good question, if whether or not I would see it again, because there was definitely some pros in it. There was definitely things that I liked. I'll start off by saying that from the get-go, from like when you're watching it straight away, I think it's going to depend on what kind of TV, what size television you're watching, what you're watching it on. Because for me, I was watching it on my TV, which is quite big, and I noticed immediately the quality just wasn't that good, and it was just kind of a little bit distracting. Even the quality that was obviously, I'm not sure if it was originally at like 1080p or whatever. But I'm not sure how he's cut it down, but just obviously the quality, he couldn't keep the quality the same. So when you're so used to watching things now in like 4K, basically, and even on Netflix, watching The Witcher, for example, which is out now, and that's in like such high quality. And then you flick over to this fan edit, and just the quality was just really kind of disappointing. So for me, that was the first thing that kind of took away from the viewing experience. So that's, maybe it's outside the control of this guy. And I downloaded the file, which was not, it wasn't a huge file. I have since done other research, and I see that there are other fan edits that are out there that are available that are like 40 gigabytes that you can download, which are obviously going to be a much higher quality, but that's not the one that we went for in the end. So that would be the first thing that I would say off the bat, that the actual viewing quality and the like frame rate is, sorry, not the frame rate, just the pixels, is not brilliant. So that kind of takes away from it. But of course, like any viewing experience, after you're watching something for a little while, you kind of just get into it, and that's fine. So with regards to the actual movie itself, I really liked it. I liked the fact that, you know, what's the purpose of this fan edit? It was to cut out all the kind of fluff and all the filler and basically go back to the origin and go back to the roots of the Hobbit story and kind of, again, remove a lot of the side story, so that our main story again is looking at Bilbo and looking at the dwarves and looking at the main story of the Hobbit. Because I think a lot of people will remember that, for example, in the third movie, The Battle of the Five Armies, the movie is entitled The Hobbit, and yet we rarely see the Hobbit Bilbo in that entire movie. It's all just about this big CGI battle. So, I mean, again, it's very, very important that your main, you know, your title character be the main character of your movie. So I think that's important as well. I think the fact that it's he's cutting out so much of the kind of filler and stuff, sometimes that does break up the flow of the movie a little bit. And sometimes you lose a little bit of context of what's happening. Sometimes you have scenes where everybody's fine and then a whole battle scene is cut out and suddenly they all have like blood all over their faces and things. And you're just obviously left there thinking, what the hell has just happened? But again, that's to be expected with these types of things. And yeah, that's my general overview. I've probably missed a few things, but as a viewing experience, I enjoyed it. But I would say I probably wouldn't watch this version again. I think I probably will go back and watch maybe other fan edits, because I've heard that there are some other even like other great ones out there as well. And I would like to maybe watch some other ones. But this one for me, I've seen it now. I think that's probably enough for me. And yeah, as I said, just the quality of viewing, it kind of just, that's one of the things that mainly kind of let me down, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with pretty much everything you said, especially the quality as well. That was a little bit of a turn off for me. But as far as watching it again, I think, I don't know if I would ever watch it again, but it seems like the perfect version of the movie. If someone just wanted to read the Hobbit book and then said, I just want to see this movie, I'd be like, well, here you go. This is as close and as accurate you can get to it. Obviously, there with lots of edits and cuts, like what you said, there's things that affect the continuity of the way characters look, why they're injured when they shouldn't be, and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, overall, I just thought the pacing, like it's a completely different movie.
Yeah,
you know, it takes out how many, I don't know, like 5 hours or something of extra crap.
Yeah, because the movie that we saw, I think without the credits at the end, I think the viewing time is like 3.5 hours or something.
I have it here.
It's
3 hours 48 minutes including the credits.
There you go.
Yeah, and the Hobbit trilogy is like almost 9 hours if you're looking at the extended trilogy. So. Yeah, it is a massive cut, and there's so much in it that doesn't need to be in it. Now, I'm not saying I prefer it to the Hobbit trilogy. I just think it's a completely different way of looking at it. It's just like looking at one storyline. Whereas if I want to show someone for the first time the whole Hobbit experience, I will go and look at the extended trilogy, because that's what Peter Jackson created, and that's his vision. And I enjoy it for what it is. Now, a lot of the stuff that's taken out is like all the kind of cringy, corny, overused CGI scenes. So, I don't know, two very good versions of The Hobbit, I think.
Yeah, I think, it's nice to have both versions, because, yeah, I think everybody knows that, like, the original Hobbit movies, as we said, they are great movies. And, I mean, who can argue with an Oscar-winning director like Peter Jackson, and, you know, who can argue with his choices? But I think that there was probably a lot of debate between Peter Jackson and the studio as well, because obviously we know that there was originally supposed to be two movies, and then suddenly the studio wanted a third movie. So Jackson obviously had to just kind of come up with extra storylines and extra characters and kind of just, you know, fluff it all up a little bit and kind of just say, okay, let's expand on this a little bit. And, you know, that's not easy to do. It's not easy to invent these new characters or whatever, or just like bring Lord of the Rings characters into the movie and say, okay, we're gonna, you know, give this person an extended cameo. So I understand I understand it from all perspectives. I understand the studio as well, because they know that they can just cash in on this as well. But I mean, obviously us as fans, we don't want to see studios cashing in on a project. But then also there's the other argument that who can argue with just us getting more time in Middle Earth and getting more hours,
fan service,
you know, immersed in that world as well. So I can, you know, from my own perspective, I'm having this own internal argument with myself, because for me, I don't want to see like the Hobbit story tarnished, but then at the same time, I enjoy every extra minute that I can get in Middle Earth. So, yeah. You know, there's different perspectives. And maybe it's also, like you said as well, if you're trying to show somebody the original story of just the Hobbit, you could show them that first, or you could show them that second. It doesn't really matter. And then, but like, don't give it to them as in, this is the only version. I would always say that Peter Jackson's version is a great version as well. And it is a great, it is the version of the Hobbit. These are just extra little things that you can have, like, you know, as they should be viewed as fan edits.
Yeah. And I think the first couple of times I heard, oh, there's another fan edit out there that does this and another one that does that, I kind of just brushed them off and I was like, yeah, but sure, like, what do people know? But it's definitely worth watching, I would say, because it puts the whole movie in a completely different light, or the whole story, I should say, because, yeah, especially the third movie, Battle of the Five Armies, is, like, that's completely different. Like, that's maybe cut down to like, maybe 20 minutes of footage, but I'm not sure. But anyways, let's get into some of the changes in more detail here.
Sure.
Come on, Ghibli!
So, obviously, they cut the stone giants or the mountains fighting each other for obvious reasons.
Thank God.
They massively reduced Goblin Town, including cutting out the song Down, Down, Down in Goblin Town, because it's just massively goofy, and I was happy to see those things changed.
Yeah.
And the escaping scene as well in Goblin Town.
I don't remember, like, when is the song of Goblin Town only in the extended, or is that in the original?
No, that's theatrical, I'm pretty sure. It's like the whole introduction of the Goblin King, or what is he? Yeah, the Goblin King. He's basically, I can't remember this. It's the down, down, down in Goblin Town. And it's kind of like when all the dwarves are being brought in front of him, he's singing away and he's doing a big twirl and everything. So that's theatrical.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's quite a while since I've actually seen the first Hobbit movie.
Yeah. The theatrical or just in general?
The theatrical one, just like the... Yeah. I think I saw maybe the Desolation of Smaug just randomly on TV maybe a year ago or so, but I haven't actually watched the trilogy in... it's probably just been, you know, 2 or 3 years.
I watched them recently enough. Well, actually, it's probably the summer last year, so that's recent enough for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same at Lord of the Rings as well. I completely forget what's theatrical and what's extended. And the Hobbit movies...
No, but I've never seen the extended of the Hobbit movies.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Ah, there's some good stuff in there.
I've watched on YouTube some extended scenes. I remember I watched the scene when Gandalf is in Dol Guldur and he like speaks to Thrain and things like that.
Thrain is completely left out, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not in the theatrical versions at all.
I think that's so weird.
Like
it is and it isn't, but it's just so weird that there's like Thorin's dad. They kind of refer to him a couple of times, like he's missing and he hasn't been seen. And then there's like all these scenes where he's there with Gandalf and I'm like, that's so strange how...
And Gandalf gives Thorin the key and says, I got it from Thrain, basically, like, so...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, when I watched it, well, I mean, I've never seen the extended editions. I never really thought, oh, it's weird that Thrain hasn't shown up or anything. So, I mean, you don't miss him from the theatrical ones. So maybe after, again, like... I only watch the extended versions of Lord of the Rings now, and so now if I went back and watched the theatrical ones, I'd probably just be complaining about, oh, like, why is this thing not in it, or why is this person, like, I mean, obviously we can see the job of a movie editor. It must be so difficult when you shoot these, like, maybe in your opinion incredible scenes, and you can remember, oh, that was a great day of shooting there that we, you know, did all this so well, and now we've edited and it looks perfect, and then someone might just say, yeah, but does it really go with the flow of this exact scene? Maybe we should cut it out. So that's got to be such a difficult task to do. So even for me now, looking at the, as I said, the extended versions of the Lord of the Rings, when you're looking at any little scene, like in the Fellowship of the Rings, when they're, you know, just looking at the halls inside Moria and stuff. And I know some of those scenes are extended, and I love every one of those scenes and every view that we get of inside of Moria. So I would hate to be the person saying, okay, we need to just cut this scene or whatever. And so it is a difficult task. But
It definitely was easier for The Hobbit, I think, because some of the filler in the extended, like, I know there's a scene, I think it's in the extended, where Keely, when they all arrive at Rivendell and they're all having the food and stuff, and there's a lot of crap in there, and I think Keely at one point goes, oh, but the elf maidens aren't that bad, aren't they? And he's like, well, look at this one in particular. And then one of the other dwarves goes, that's not an elf maiden. And it turns around, it's a dude.
Oh, and yeah, like, yeah. You know, I have seen that scene. Yeah, I've seen that scene. Again, I've seen a lot of the extended scenes, but that's more on YouTube when I've been researching stuff, and I've been like looking for little sound bites for the podcast and stuff. And you end up just watching so many clips of little individual scenes. So I've seen that scene that you're talking about, but yeah. Again,
and there's also the scene in Rivendell when they all go for a bath and jump into the fountain. They're all naked. It's just so weird.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
It's just like maybe a 2 or 3 second shot of a faraway shot, and you just see the fountain and a bunch of like butt-ass naked dwarves like just jumping and doing cannonballs into the fountain. Or else I dreamed that. But I'm pretty sure it's there.
That's going to get the female viewers up, all these naked dwarves. They want to see Bomber doing a cannonball into the pool.
So moving on, there's no Radagast. It wasn't completely obvious to me that they were going to take him out of the movie entirely. Just, do you know the scene where you first see him and he's like, I'm going to be late, or whatever he's saying. Yeah. He's like beating his hedgehog. They cut all that out, but I was thinking, oh, maybe they'll show him in a different light later. Yeah. But no, he's gone.
Exactly. And actually, I would say that I remember we watched part one. It was split into two parts. We watched part one together, and then we watched part two separately after I had come back to Spain. And when we were together in that scene where it, like, the camera... I can't remember what the scene before, but there's something happening before, and then the camera changes to the roof of the forest, and it starts panning down, and you start to see the trees, and then eventually it pans down in the original one. It pans down to where we see Radagast running around the place like a maniac and looking at all the black goo on the leaves, and it's like, oh no, whatever. And then he helps the little hedgehog. Now in this edit,
Sebastian,
in this edit, it still made that same initial cut, which was like there was a voiceover and it cut to the top of the forest and the camera started to pan down. But then like 1 second later, it cut again. It went to the new scene. So there, obviously, the first cut was because there was a voiceover during that part. But again, there were some small little things like that I thought that weren't perfectly done. Obviously, I was thinking
perfectly smooth.
Yeah, like I thought maybe he could have obviously, you know, separated the audio from the... from the visual, and then that way he could have cut straight to the next scene, keeping the audio, and there wouldn't have been any need to see this top of trees suddenly appearing and then disappearing without any context. Because that was when I saw those trees, and immediately you saw, they've just cut out that Radagast scene. Whereas if it had just blended more seamlessly into the next scene, you might have kind of forgotten that was the exact place that Radagast scene took place, and kind of
I agree. They could have just done the audio over black or over the start of a scene that doesn't have.
Yeah, because the next scene that it cut to, I'm pretty sure, was when they found the cave trolls, and then that's when they went in and they found the swords. I think it was that it was that next scene. So that scene starts off, and again, it's just more wide landscape shots. So they could have done the exact same thing. They could have had that voiceover leading into those landscape shots.
Yeah.
So little small details like that I was kind of going, oh, that could have been a little bit better. So again,
We're professional editors at this point.
We are pros. You know? We have really high standards, you guys.
Yeah, we've been doing this for at least a couple of months. But yeah, so obviously then it was quite obvious that they cut out orcs hunting the dwarves and picking up on their scent, and there was no Azog, which was refreshing, because I find there was a lot of things when I watched this movie that I realized when I'm actually watching the Hobbit trilogy, I kind of feel like in myself going, oh, back to this scene, even though I don't think it at the time, but every time we cut to orcs or Azog or any of that kind of stuff, I didn't realize before, but now I'm pretty sure I always go, oh, here we go, this is kind of a time for me to check out a little bit. Or it does take away from it, like it pulls you out. No, it doesn't pull you out of the movie, but it pulls you out of the story.
Well, again, because of the entire you know, the maybe the overuse of CGI or the kind of CGI heavy facial features, they don't look real. The characters, they don't look real to the world. So you're watching a scene with like Bilbo and Gandalf, two humans having a conversation. Well, not humans in the world, but I'm saying human actors. Mm. And, you know, you've got a wizard and a hobbit, but in their faces look real. And then suddenly it clips to Azog talking to, I don't know, the other, what's the other pale orc's name?
Bulg.
And they're having a conversation. And it's just two big CGI faces that it looks like suddenly you switch to like a PlayStation game or something. And it just, that's what, it doesn't feel right. I also heard one thing there that I was watching some video online of other people discussing things about The Hobbit, and they made a good point. They said that Azog is always talking in black speech, and we have this like subtitles of what he's saying. And as kind of cool as the black speech kind of sounds, I wonder if they had had the same kind of Cockney accents as the Uruk-hai or the orcs from the Lord of the Rings, would we have had that, at least that sort of a connection to these characters? Because I think we definitely had more of a connection to the orcs and the Uruk-hai from the Lord of the Rings trilogy rather than these orcs and this pale orc as well. We don't really appreciate their physical appearance because there's too much CGI. And then we can't even really appreciate their vocal performance because it's all in black speech and we have to read the subtitles as well. Language. So that's maybe we can't connect on either visual or audible levels. So
that's true. Yeah, I never thought about that. But while you were speaking about Azog there, I was thinking, I don't want to just completely start reviewing the Hobbit movies. But like another thing that takes me away from the orcs is just the fact that they try to connect a lot to Lord of the Rings, but then the orcs themselves, even the ones that are in makeup, don't look anything like the orcs in Lord of the Rings. They seem so much bigger, and they all just speak in black speech without Cockney accents, and the wargs that they ride just look so different. Like, there was nothing wrong with the Lord of the Rings orcs or wargs, so I don't know why they didn't have them the same. They're like bigger and darker, and they just don't look like, they just look like wolves rather than like the wargs. The wargs seem to have like big wide mouths, whereas the wolves long snouts. So I don't know. That was another just kind of annoyance for me. And I was just glad that it just didn't show any of that. But I also don't want to get into start like talking about all the things we don't like from the original Hobbit trilogy as well.
Yeah, because of course, and again, we should remind our listeners that we were not anti the Hobbit movie at all. Like Dave and I both really like the Hobbit movies. But
the Hobbit movie.
But there are definitely, and I think most fans would agree, there are some things in the movies that we don't think they were perfectly done, and maybe we think, ugh, that's, you know, there's obviously
as most people do,
exactly. We enjoy them, and as I said at the beginning of this podcast, I love every minute that I can be in thrust into the world of Middle Earth. It's always a great experience, but there obviously it's always going to be impossible to live up to the greatest trilogy ever made. So again, we shouldn't blame the Hobbit movie for that, but we will be honest with things that we maybe don't view that were done perfectly well, or that we think, oh, that could have been better. And and also, just to mention, in this fan edit, as we said before, the character of Azog is completely omitted. He's gone. We don't get one glimpse of him. So I was relatively happy with that call. Although I wouldn't have minded if he showed up in a couple of scenes. And I would say maybe later on we'll get to it. There was definitely one or two scenes where I thought they probably shouldn't have cut, where he should have actually been involved. But anyway, we'll speak about that later.
I do think in the end of the movie we do get a glimpse of him just as being the guy that calls in the orc armies, but he could literally be random orc one, right? You know,
yeah.
But yeah, so obviously with the lack of orcs and Azog, they cut that from the final part of the first movie, An Unexpected Journey, where they all have to climb the trees. They do climb the trees, but...
Oh, they do, yeah.
It's the wargs that attack, and you don't see the orcs showing up later. But then, obviously, there is that one inconsistency where Thorin is injured for no reason at all, and he's just, like, lying there dead, even though they were all kind of safely up in the trees, and they kind of climb back. And then Thorin's just lying there covered in blood, and the eagle has to pick him up, and they're all like, Thorin, Thorin, are you okay? I feel like maybe they could have cut out them wondering if Thorin was
injured. And just like, I mean, that's another thing that I had the exact same thought. I was thinking, if you're going to cut out that whole battle scene, don't show us an image of Thorin getting like gently picked up while his body is unconscious by the eagle and flown, and then like, you know, left down carefully, and all the hobbits concerned, or sorry, the dwarves concerned for him. That just cut that 20 seconds out as well, and then you've got
because it could have transitioned perfectly, because we saw loads of clips of people jumping from the pine trees onto the eagles. And we could, you know, there's 14 of them, so we could just assume that.
Yeah, we're not going to miss
one of them.
Yeah, we're not going to say, "Oh, like, I don't see Thorin flying on an eagle there." Yeah, exactly.
So just cut to like the eagles, not after the close up of Thorin in the eagle's feet.
Yeah, cut to Thorin having his little conversation with Bilbo on top of the rock when he kind of comes to and all that. I know he'll be like all bruised and battered, but like we don't need to worry about that. We can just say, "Oh, he probably got a bit dirty when he was up in the fiery tree.
Maybe he got scratched from the eagle."
Yeah. See a dangerous flight.
So yeah, obviously they rapidly move into the second movie and they kind of avoid lots more orc scenes again. But the first big massive change, which we've already mentioned, is that there is no Tauriel, and no Tauriel whatsoever. I was very impressed with how they removed her scenes and the plot is completely unaffected. Like, I know she was just kind of added in, but at the same time, she apart from Keely, she doesn't interact with anyone in the story that's of note. Like, you know, there's no interaction with Bilbo, obviously. All the dwarves that actually go to the mountain, you know, they're the important ones at the story. Like,
she only reacts really with Legolas, and then he's basically pretty much cut.
Exactly.
From the movie as well.
I kind of forgot that. I was like, now they're probably going to cut down on Tauriel scenes, but like there probably are going to be a lot of scenes that they can't avoid. But I was like, oh, she doesn't talk to Thranduil really of any importance apart from Legolas.
Yeah, she talks to Thranduil like once or like maybe a couple of times. But again. Yeah. What's their discussion about? It's about, it's about their little love triangle thing.
And they're cutting out most Legolas scenes. But, they left in the only scene of Legolas, which is the coolest one, where he aims his bow and they do a close up on his face. And I remember it being in the trailer, because I remember when that trailer came out back in, I don't know, 2011, 12, 13, whenever. And I just like lost my shit. And I was like, oh my God, Legolas. And it was the best shot of him as well. Of just that close up.
Oh, yeah, there are like, you know, so many cool scenes of Legolas going around just like kicking ass in the Hobbit movies. But all of those were cut, really. This is the only appearance for Legolas in the movie. So they cut a lot of the other scenes. Again, was I really happy or really sad about that? I would say I was relatively happy that they removed a lot of the scenes, but I wouldn't have been disappointed if they'd left in a couple of scenes of him just like, you know, killing orcs and like being like doing his Legolas thing and, you know, stylishly killing people. But I was very happy to see that after we'd realized that Tauriel was cut from a couple of scenes, when it came to the scene where they escaped with the barrels and they like float down the river, I was delighted that they cut out that whole scene of like being chased by the orcs and the elves coming up and like Tauriel like jumping across on their heads and things like that.
Yeah,
I think it was
Legolas jumping on their heads,
or maybe Legolas. Yeah, I can't remember. But like that whole scene was cut, and like Bomber just, you know, flying out of the river and just like rolling down the side and like just kills about 15 or 20 orcs. And
yeah,
then,
very cartoonish.
You know, jumps back into the river again, and then it was so. You know, it didn't feel right in the mood of the film. Like some parts of the movie are kind of, it feels like, oh, it's in the same, it wants to be Lord of the Rings, and then other parts are just completely, you know, wacky, childish kind of thing. So I think if you want to be a childish movie, and the book The Hobbit is more childish, that's fine, but you need to like set your theme and say, okay, this is the theme that we're going for. Don't like, it's kind of mixed messages, I think. So
it is maybe one
of the places. Yeah.
And just before that cut, they also cut any scenes of elves fighting spiders. They just go straight into Mirkwood. But that was the only reason they showed Legolas, just to show that the dwarves get captured and brought to Mirkwood. But then, straight after that is the barrel scene. So that all plays out the same, obviously, minus the Keely Tauriel kind of weird I don't know, weird stuff where he goes, I could have anything down my trousers. And she goes, or probably nothing, which is quite good. I like that, but obviously that's going to cut that out.
So
it moves on to the barrel scene, and that's literally just, we see the barrels fall out of the Mirkwood dungeons and into the river, and then they practically cut to just Bard showing up and aiming his bow at one of the dwarves.
But before we go any further, I would say, going back to when they were in Mirkwood, there was just one thing that I wanted to mention, and that was in terms, again, of similar to including Thorin being injured for no reason, where they could have easily cut him out, they included an extended edition scene of Bomber, where he, in the, again, I haven't seen the extended movies, but I have seen the scene where Bomber, I think they just find him asleep in the river or something like that, and it's like, you know, Mirkwood has this whole evil sensation thing going on, and it's kind of like Old Man Willow or that type of thing, where obviously he's been put under some spell, and then they just basically have to try and save him, so they carry him through the rest of Mirkwood Forest. Now, they don't show the scene of him being injured or him being put under a spell or anything, but they do show a scene of the dwarves carrying his body. And so, again, it's kind of like, it's a kind of a bit unnecessary to include some of the parts and then to not give you the entire story, because they enter Mirkwood Forest. They do that whole scene very well of them being disorientated and getting lost. And then suddenly there's just a scene of all the dwarves carrying Bomber, and you're like, what's going on? I don't know. And then it basically just, it cuts to the next part where they're all fine again. So
That's true. I suppose they probably, I assume he left it in because he falls asleep in the book as well, and I think they carry him as well. But
he could have kept in the scene then, the very short scene of just them stumbling upon his body.
Yeah, maybe. Or I think he just like literally falls asleep and like lands on a vine or something in the extended
I can't remember the actual.
It's something like that. Yeah, there was a couple of things where you're right, where they show him asleep. Maybe they should show where he actually falls asleep. But I suppose he's in the editorial room as well, and he's like, right, how do I cut like 90% of this movie down?
So
He did have to make some of these decisions, because the actual guy that edited this, I saw, he said his goal was to edit it down to less than 4 hours. So that is a big feat when you look at the actual time.
And
we
said that the viewing time was what, like 3:48 or something, but that's not including the end credits, which he keeps in and which are quite long as well. So I think the actual full runtime is over 4 hours.
3:48 is including.
Oh, sorry, Incredits. That's including end credits.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's probably like three and a half or something. Yeah, but the credits are long. Like. So then the next thing, which was also refreshing, I suppose the reason I enjoyed this so much is because you do sometimes notice a cut or an edit, but you're like, thank God he's done that. There was no Alfred, or they cut most of Alfred. Which was great. They cut most of them, other than like one or two lines he has beside the Master of Lake Town when they're standing off with Bard and the dwarves. But like that's all the screen time he should get is maybe just some like, you know, bumbling idiot that's like, right, arrow after arrow he shot in. Like, you know, I like his accent, but like we just don't need that much Alfred. It's just a couple of lines are fine.
Yeah, he had the scene where he basically scolds Gandalf in the third movie, where he says, like, we'll have no vagabonds showing up and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, clear off you and all this kind of stuff. And also the scene where Bard comes along and he's like, hey, how was a night watch? He's like, oh, you know, nothing gets past me. Nothing gets past me. And Bard's like, oh, obviously nothing except an army of elves or something. But,
So they kept all the perfect Alfred scenes in, all the rest, especially after Dale. We'll get into that, but like,
I will say that when I saw him at all, I got worried, and I was like, oh no, that he's left Alfred in. But of course, he cut out most of his really, you know, his cross-dressing scenes and his just, you know, most of the rubbish that was like really frustrating. And but even just seeing him on the screen, I just don't like visually the look of him. They just kind of they give him a big unibrow and they're like, oh, that's going to be scary. And it's like, ugh.
Yeah. He belongs on Broadway. Like, he's a theater. He doesn't look like a real character. He just looks like an ugly stepsister or something.
Yeah. He's like, exactly. It's like if you went to a play on Broadway of The Lord of the Rings and the person playing Grima was going to be like this guy who's just like this over the top over actor kind of like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we all have similar feelings on Alfred.
Not so fast. Consignment of empty barrels from the woodland realm. Only they're not empty. Are they, Bard?
Yeah, moving on. I also just added in here, but I think we already mentioned it, that there's like no Gandalf side quests at all. So there's no Saruman, there's no Galadriel, there's no any of that crack, which, you know,
Dol Guldur is all gone.
It's all gone. And at this,
the White Council,
this comes up again where I feel like there's two versions of me. One that's like, absolutely, that all has to go, it's all unnecessary. But then there's another part of me that's like, I love seeing as much Ian McKellen as possible. I think all the actually knowing where Gandalf went is pretty interesting. And just seeing like Sir Christopher Lee and Galadriel, whatever her name is again, Cate Blanchett. Seeing them all again, it's nice. It's fan service, but it's not needed. So understandably omitted.
I agree completely that, there's the part of you that, just exactly what you said. Christopher Lee, I mean, he's just such an amazing actor. So, and it's kind of cool to see another side of Saruman as well. In the Lord of the Rings, I mean, obviously Galadriel and Elrond, it's great to see them all like, you know, teaming up and having their little battles. But for me, especially Saruman and seeing Saruman when he was still, you know, on, you know, maybe he had kind good of terms. Turned evil at this point, but like, you know, he wasn't letting that be known and he wasn't showing that. And he was kind of still, you know, very much kind of like, we are good and, are you in need of assistance, my lady?
Mm. And I think all his scenes are brilliant and I absolutely love them in The Hobbit and they don't overuse him. Like they probably wouldn't have been able to overuse him because he was like in his mid to late 90s, but I just loved seeing him on the screen.
Yeah, so like what I was going to say when we were speaking about Alfred was that they cut out the majority of his scenes, but I think they could have even just cut out all of his scenes and then if he was looking for a couple of moments or a couple of seconds, he could have cut out those couple of scenes of Alfred and included those maybe one or two little scenes of, you know, the White Council. But that probably wouldn't have made sense either.
It's just got nothing to do with the story if he's going down this route none of the Dol Guldur stuff, none of Gandalf's side quests. So
yeah, it's probably an easier editing decision to make, to say, okay, look, none of that. That's all gone because, you know, he can easily just back himself up and say, look, that's all just, it's not from the book. And, you know, in the book, Gandalf is just like, right, I got to go. And he just disappears and he shows up again. He's like, hi, I'm back and I got to go again. And he's gone. And you don't know what he's doing. So, I mean, it makes sense as well. But yeah, I agree with you that it is really cool seeing all of those legends on screen together. So it is a little bit disappointing when you're like, oh, I'd love to see those guys.
But that's why there's two versions. Well, there's more than two versions of the movie and it's great. So we have the option of doing both and it's good to see them because I feel like they are just two completely different stories.
Sure, of course.
So then obviously we already kind of touched on it. We have the drama of Lake Down Cut with the orcs and Legolas and Tauriel. And also back in the barrel scene, Gilly gets shot, but that's cut. And so that means that we don't see any of the whole injury process of Gilly and him being left behind. So that was good because, again, that's another part in the movie where I just kind of go, oh, come on, let's get to the mountain. Like, we stay in Lake Town way too long, especially when the actual dwarves go and we still have to look at Gilly and Feely and whoever else is there left behind dealing with the mess. I'm just like, oh, I don't care about these guys.
Yeah, and also, just as you mentioned, the barrel scene a minute ago, there's a second barrel scene that's also cut out, which this one is done maybe not so well, where it's when Bard is smuggling the hobbits, the dwarves into the town.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, quickly, get into the barrels. And they all jump into the barrels, and then they cut the scene where he fills the barrels with fish, and they actually, you know, get in that way. So it's like, fair enough if you want to cut the scene of them, you know, having the fish dumped in on top of them, but don't include the scene of them, you know, hiding in the barrels.
Get
in the barrels, and it's like, quickly, get in the barrels. And you're like,
yeah, there is a lot of inconsistencies when he's literally cutting, he could cut like a half an hour and, you know, blend it together. Like, all that is gone. The introduction of Alfred, Bard looking at the tapestry as well, and like all that kind of stuff, the fish getting dumped to them. They basically just, he goes hide, get in the barrels, and next thing we see them popping out of the toilet. And like, I don't know how much time is taken away there, but he does this a lot in the second half of The Desolation of Smaug and
definitely,
for most of the final movie.
Now, again, so, there are some changes that I think he could make while they're still in Lake Town. For example, it shows the dwarves just arriving up through the toilet of Bard's house, and then basically it cuts almost immediately to them inside the armory stealing weapons without any sort of like explanation of what's just happened. So they could have included, now, as I was saying, it would be cool to see Saruman and all that. But I mean, that would involve having to like go into like including like maybe 15, 20 minutes and all that. In this part, he could have just included literally one or two scenes of when Bard gives them the crap weapons that he promised them, and then them saying, these weapons aren't good enough, and then they break into the armory. So that would have just given you a little bit of context, whereas suddenly they're in the armory and they're robbing stuff, and then they're before the master of the town. He's like, you're thieves, and you're like...
It all went so quickly, I think, because my mind in there was maybe he's trying to cut it that they're coming out of the toilet, and... It doesn't show them actually break into the army. It just shows them like picking up
they're
weapons.
They're inside.
So I was thinking,
so
maybe
like,
they're like, you know, this is inside Bard's house. This is what the cut is supposed to be. Or maybe that there was a cut and they were just supposed to walk into the armory and then your man like falls down. And I was wondering, how are they going to play this off? Because Keely's
like, obviously,
injured, but he falls that's just clumsy Keely.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that is a possibility, but I would say then... the lighting is just completely off because
they
come
definitely.
Up through the toilet.
It's nighttime.
And he's in this like daytime well-lit house, and then suddenly they're inside this dark armory. And so there's a few cuts in it that are a bit too drastic and a bit like, ooh, that one was not seamless.
Yeah, definitely are. But like he probably was just working with what he could.
Yeah,
and yeah, you're probably right. There are some points where you could go, maybe even if it doesn't serve the plot massively, you just leave it in to help the movie run more smoothly. And that definitely would be one, because everything just jumps way too much.
That was one where I think with the extra 30 seconds of the conversation of Bard saying, here's the weapons that I promised you, and they're all just like, you know, fishing hooks and stuff, and then the dwarves say, look, these aren't good enough, we're going to break into, I can't remember the dialogue, but basically they say, we're going to break into the armory, and then they're inside the armory, or even showing them breaking in. He could have given us an extra 30 seconds to show that.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, that's what we're going to do. We're going to say that we enjoyed a lot of this movie, but we're going to give our own opinions and our own thoughts on it as well. And I'm going to say, if I think that something could have been done a bit better, well, then I'm going to, you know, speak honestly about it.
Yeah, of course. So then obviously they go to the mountain, and obviously there's lots of little cuts that they make, but no need to get into it. But the next big noticeable thing I found was when Bilbo's actually about to go into Smaug's lair, and I was looking forward to his little chat with Balin because I remember it being quite nice, and they cut it all, or they cut most of it. They just cut it to the part where he says, now, if there is a living dragon down there, don't wake it. And then that's when I realized they cut all the like Arkenstone talk. And then later in the actual Smaug scene, where they left pretty much everything with Smaug in, with Bilbo and Smaug, they cut Smaug talking about the Dragonstone, how that scene where he goes, I'm almost tempted to let you take it, to let it corrupt your heart. Kind of like the same way it corrupted Thorin. They cut that part. And I was interesting.
Did they not leave in the first part where he says, I'm always tempted to let you take it?
Maybe,
but
then
he just goes,
maybe it is, but they cut like, I think he cut everything out to make it seem like it was another magical item
in
Middle Earth that corrupts you. And
it's another ring. Yeah,
it's another ring. Yeah, basically. And I just thought that was interesting, because first I was like, oh, okay, they cut some Arkenstone talk, but maybe that's just because they wanted less of that in it. But then there was like just a 2-second line of Smaug that they cut, and that's when I realized he's really trying to change our perception of the Arkenstone.
Which I think is pretty good as well.
Which is good, yeah. And they just cut to Smaug saying, now I'm bored of this conversation, now time to die or whatever. And he's about to breathe fire on Bilbo, and it immediately cuts to Smaug breaking out of, or him kind of flying out from the mountain. So all of that was cut with the dwarves trying to catch Smaug, and that was good.
That whole gold big huge statue thing.
I was wondering about that because I was like, how are they going? I really don't want to see golden Smaug, but they kind of need to if they're showing how he breaks out. But then when they did that scene of him just about to chase after Bilbo and then him being outside of the mountain, I'm like, that's a nice cut. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah,
it wasn't seamless, but it was good.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that scene when the dwarves are all kind of battling Smaug, I wouldn't say that's one of my, I wouldn't say that's one of the worst scenes in the movie by any shout or anything either. So,
but it definitely drags on way too long.
Yeah, no, but I was surprised that it was just completely omitted. But again, I mean, I can see the reason for it, and Smaug is just having his conversation with Bilbo, who's the main character.
Yeah.
And again, it's Bilbo who sees him leaving and going towards Lake Town. So I can see the reason for it. But again, I mean, I was quite surprised. There was plenty of scenes that I expected to be cut, and they were cut. And I mean, they were obvious. But that was one that I was kind of, obviously the entire thing does drag on a little bit, but I was expecting to see a little bit of back and forth between the dwarves and Smaug. But I've no problems with that as well. And I think that, as you said, it was done quite well.
Yeah, and it is one of those things that comes back to, I'm glad that there's, you know, more than one version, so we can watch both. We have the option to watch both.
I am almost tempted to let you take it, if only to see Oakenshield suffer. Watch it destroy him. Watch it corrupt his heart and drive him mad.
The first time we really see a lot of orcs together in marching or whatever is shown here in a 2 or 3 second cut of them marching towards the Lonely Mountain, and then it's just cut away. And it kind of reminds you that it's been heavily edited, because you're like, where the hell are these orcs coming from? What are they doing? But he's cut out the entire side plot of Azog and wanting to wage war on these dwarves and Thorin and all that. So it kind of pleasantly reminded me that that's nice that this is the first time we're really seeing orcs and their CGI. But so they're marching on the mountain, and then I think we see a lot of the stuff between Thranduil and Thorin and him kind of turning mad. There are little cuts here and there, but the next big noticeable cut I wrote down was when Dane shows up, and I was thinking, I wonder, is he going to say the word bastards? Because that always throws me when I'm watching The Hobbit and Dane goes, "Ay, yowie, bastards," or whatever he says. And it always goes, it doesn't feel very Tolkien to me. And he cut that out, so I was quite glad. Yeah.
Oh, did he? All right. I'd forgotten kind of about why.
It throws me every
Billy
time.
Billy Connolly says that.
I feel like Billy Connolly was signing the contract and he's like, I have to say the word bastards.
I just get thrown, not by what he says, but just the fact that I hear Billy Connolly showing up, and I always just think, what is Billy Connolly doing in The Hobbit?
I love it though.
I love Billy Connolly.
His face is awful, but I do love him, and his voice, he is a dwarf. He is Dane to me, and I'm glad.
Yeah.
Yeah, at first I was like, Billy Connolly, but no, it's definitely grown on me.
Yeah.
Run! Let's give these bastards a good hammering! Gannad! Thorinul!
The next cut, which was also good, which I was kind of expecting throughout the Battle of the Five Armies, every time I was preparing for the next scene, I was thinking, I bet you this will be cut. And of course, the weirworms are cut.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. And it just looks like the orcs are coming through natural tunnels in the mountain. And a massive cut was that the elves and the dwarves don't actually fight each other. They just straight away attack the orcs, which was, I don't know. I kind of like that little fight at the start. But then again, it makes more sense that they don't fight. I don't know. I like actually seeing the elves and the dwarves face off. But again, if we're going to cut things, that makes more sense to cut.
I'm going to go back again and say similarly that maybe the editing was not fantastic in this scene. So I think, like, I mean,
yeah,
the Battle of the Five Armies, so much of it was cut, like
so
enormous
much.
Amounts of this battle scene was cut. So, and rightly so, I would say.
Yeah.
But there were parts at the beginning where, they're all facing off, and then suddenly the dwarves start charging towards the orcs. But we can see clearly the elves are standing, and they're about like a kilometer behind the dwarves. Just they're like not moving, and the dwarves are all charging. And then suddenly it cuts, and we're in the middle of this battle scene where dwarves and orcs and elves are all fighting. And I mean, there was a couple of just very sharp cuts in that little sequence where it was just showing a few different battle sequences.
It cut to right in the thick of the battle, like, and there was just everyone there. And that was actually one thing I have left at the end, but I may as well say it now. But one of the things I really missed was that scene of the dwarves setting up their wall and then the heroic charge of the elves jumping over the dwarves. I know it's kind of heavy on the CGI, but I just think it's so cool. And it would have made so much sense. It looks like the dwarves are charging. They set up their wall. The orcs are just about to clash in, and the next thing the elves jump over, and you're like, ah, they're here, they're helping them.
Exactly,
now,
and they're together. And they're on the same team. And
That's like a 2 or 3 second shot that could easily be left in.
They definitely could have. So that's kind of what I meant by saying that the editing wasn't perfect. I think that there were, again, some just rash decisions of like, okay, that's all got to go.
Yeah.
And I think he could have just made some slight little changes. But again, of course, his job was very, very difficult to make some of these changes. Also, one scene that I'm sure you missed that was really, imperative to the story was where Legolas climbs up the falling rocks. Oh, I mean, I really missed that scene when it was
there. I love that where physics just goes out the window and, Legolas just does an absolute, he does a madness.
He does a madness, So, that scene is not included.
Well, it goes without saying that there's no Legolas at all in this battle or Tauriel or anything like that. But let me just basically, like, you guys don't actually know what happens in this part of the movie. So
you don't even know.
You don't even know, but let me just, like, describe it for you in a nutshell. So basically, the battle starts. Bilbo puts on the ring, I think. And then he takes it off again, and then he just gets knocked out by Bulg, but you don't see Bulg at all. He's just running past. He gets knocked out. The screen cuts to black, and then when he wakes up, Thorin is, like, dying. The battle is over, and he's consoling him. And, so the entire battle is gone. They might show, like, a minute of the battle, and it serves the story well, because that battle is only a couple of pages in the Hobbit book, I believe. So it's not needed.
Oh, I was very happy with the decision to cut basically the entire battle out.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. However, this is where I was going to say that the initial decision, or the decision to cut Azog basically completely out. Now, you reminded me there, and you're correct that there is a scene where we see Azog where he says, "Come forth, my army," or something, and all the orcs come out of those holes.
Legion.
Yeah, they all start coming out of those, like, those holes that the big giant worms had just made, but the worms aren't in it either, which is good.
There's so many layers to which you're like, well, we can't have Azog because he's leading the guys with the worms, but the worms aren't there either, so I just...
there's such a mess of things that, like, were not necessary. So he kind of, that's the only scene where we see Azog really at all in the entire movie. So he cuts him out completely from the rest of it. And I would agree with 95% of that, but I think maybe they could have included a little bit of the final fight scene with Azog and Thorin. Like, they didn't need to name him. They could have just been like, Thorin gets killed by some random orc or something with a cool thing. But it is a bit jarring when, like, Bilbo wakes up and it's just, Thorin's just lying on some big plane of ice on his own with a, like, stab wound, and you're thinking, what the hell has gone on here? Where is everyone? Why is Thorin on his own? And there's just so many questions. But I mean, from Bilbo's perspective, that's probably what it would have been like as well. So I mean,
I felt the same as you in some sense, where I'm like, they're gonna have to show Azog. How are they and like, what are they gonna do with Keely and Fili? How are they not gonna show Tauriel there? And of course, we didn't mention it, but Fili and Keeley die off screen, and we don't see any of that at all. But it really just hones in the fact that this is a Bilbo story, and according to Bilbo, he just wakes up after being knocked out and everything's a mess. Like, a lot of his friends are dead. Loads of people are dead. There's a big battle that's just over and he's consoling his friend Thorin. And I'm glad there was a scene of him consoling him, because at least he gets to say goodbye to him. And yeah, I know what you mean. Like, maybe they could have showed a bit of a battle of Azog, but that's such a stupid battle as well. Like, it's constantly back and forth. He's under the ice. He stabs his foot.
I've seen that movie a few times, and every time I see that scene, it's just, it kind of drives me mad with that, the whole thing of him going under the ice and just like floating with his eyes closed, and it doesn't make any sense. And then it's like the way he bursts up through the ice again, like, just physics goes out the window. Like, how you can propel yourself to jump from the water, break the ice, and like, I mean, it drives me mad.
Yeah, me too. And the decision that the editor has made is Bilbo gets knocked out, screen cuts to black, and then the next time we see it is we wake up. So if he gets knocked out and they show us the scene of Thorin fighting Azog, that would just make things even weirder.
Yeah, you know what? I take back what I said before. I'm glad that they didn't show any of that scene with Thorin and Azog, because I've just been thinking now of that scene, and I realized how much I don't really like that scene of that battle, that little fight sequence. So yeah, actually, good call, editor man.
But again, like, you have to kind of put yourself in the perspective of if you had never seen the original trilogy of The Hobbit, and this is what you're seeing for the first time. This is just one 3.5 hour movie. So you don't, it's not like a trilogy that's spread out over 3 years. So like, Thorin, you get so much time with Thorin, you deserve a big payoff, you deserve a big fight. A lot of the story is about Thorin and his backstory, but none of that is in this movie. So all you're caring about is Bilbo, really. Thorin is just this guy who had a little bit of an arc, and he completes his arc at the end where Bilbo's consoling him. So I think it fits in this movie, if you understand what I mean.
I can't really remember. Maybe, Dave, you can remind me. Do they include the scene after the eagles drop, after the eagles carry them away from the burning trees, and they save Thorin, basically, after, you know, Bilbo has jumped in and saved Thorin from the white orc, from the pale orc. Do they include the scene of Thorin, like, changing his mind about Bilbo and saying, oh, I think that you're, you know, fantastic, or something like that? You know, the way he kind of, Bilbo gets his redemption from Thorin. Is that included?
Yes, that is included, where he gives him the hug on top of the rock. But what isn't included, what is cut, is just before that, before the trees and all that, Bilbo takes off his ring. And then he pops up, and then Thorin there starts blasting Bilbo, and then he's bad mouthing him. Actually, wait a minute, I'm getting a bit confused. I think maybe he doesn't have his thing on the rock. I can't actually remember.
It was only a few days ago,
but I did watch the guy talking about it in the Cardinal Cut, where he has like a YouTube video of like 20 minutes. I think you watched it as well, and he's explaining some of his decisions of what was cut and what wasn't. And I know he definitely cuts one part where Thorin sees Bilbo and he goes, oh, I've never been so wrong in my life. He cuts one of them because it happens like twice in two different movies where it just doesn't need to happen, where he kind of, he doubts him, and then he goes back and loves him again. So he definitely takes one of them out because he says it makes more sense for him to just have one reaction.
And the reason I was asking was just because, thinking of the original Hobbit movies, and I've heard people say this as well before, that I think that maybe when, like, Bilbo receives his redemption from Thorin too early, being that Thorin, you know, he's never, you know, he's it's hard for him to trust people outside of, you know, his dwarven friends and his family. It takes him a long time to warm to people. That's just kind of his character. And so we see him, he's very, like, mistrustful of Bilbo from the very, very beginning. And then, like, he sees Bilbo kind of... Do you remember when they leave Rivendell and then they go to the mountains, and then they have that whole big, like, sequence before Goblin Town, and Bilbo wakes up in the middle of the night and he attempts to leave and to go back to Rivendell, and he's like, no, I don't fit in. And Thorin sees him, like, you know, kind of almost going back on his word. And then eventually Bilbo stays, and then they have the whole goblin thing. And again, there's just lots of little reasons for Thorin to, you know, build up in his mind these reasons why he doesn't trust Bilbo, and he's always kind of disappearing and sneaking off, and then he shows up again, and, you know, he tells the trolls, oh, you should skin the dwarves. That'd be a better way to eat them or something. And just like, yeah, you know, loads of small little things for Thorin to kind of go, I don't trust this guy. And then we get that redemption already at the beginning of the very first movie. Whereas if they had cut that out and just kept this kind of building sort of animosity until the very final moment where he dies and he says to Bilbo, like, you know, that you're the finest, whatever, the finest man I've ever met, or whatever he says to him, you know, he gets that redemption, then I think that would be so much more impactful. And so they are three movies and they are so long. So by the time we get that first redemption, there's like, I don't know, like 6 hours until the next redemption.
The next one.
It feels like such a long time anyway.
Or so 2 years, depending on when you're talking
exactly
about.
2 years, yeah. So it doesn't really matter that much. We still have enough time to build up more, like, you know, anger and animosity between the two.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. Then it finishes more or less the same way it finishes in the original cut, where Bilbo goes back to Hobbiton, and then they're all selling his stuff and he goes into the home, and then there's the transition between young Bilbo to old Bilbo, and then you hear Gandalf knocking at the door as the start of the Fellowship of the Ring is about to begin. And he leaves all that stuff in, and those are the best parts of Battle of the Five Armies, basically the start and the end. And he just basically cuts out the whole two and a half hour battle or whatever it is. So and yeah, that's just pretty much how it finishes, and it was nice. But yeah, overall I felt the whole movie was much more lighthearted. It was not massive and epic, which is a good thing, because you know, it was trying to repeat its predecessor, the original trilogy. There was no big extravagant battles or huge CGI effects. None of the unnecessary scenes or characters were included, such as Elrond, Galadriel, Radagast, any orc scenes, Gandalf's adventures. It was much more fast-paced and less action. The film didn't stall or sit with any new characters for any length of time, but just moved on scene to scene and focused on the main character, Bilbo. There were no scenes of Azog, like we mentioned, or the dwarves being hunted, which was great. One thing about the movie as well, there was a less sense of overarching danger and dread, because there was no necromancer scenes, or like I just said, there was no, like, you know, orcs constantly hunting or chasing after the dwarves.
There was also no Thorin's, like, dragon sickness thing as well. That was kind of cut. Like, he had one or two scenes where he was being a jerk towards the end, but the whole, like, do you remember the scene where he's standing on that big, huge mound of gold, and he's just there like, oh, gold.
Yeah, they kind of more put it down to just a character trait of Thorin being a little bit more greedy. And, you know, when he's like threatening to throw Bilbo over the edge, it just kind of seemed like he's just kind of gone mad. And it's nothing to do with the Arkenstone or dragon sickness or anything like that.
So they kind of, again, they cut it out. They still show him, you know,
doing some pretty crazy shit.
Being a jerk, and like Bilbo saying to him, like, Thorin, you are changed, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we do get that, but as you said, they don't put it down to because of all the gold and because of the Arkenstone. So I kind of enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, the Arkenstone is kind of like just another jewel. Yeah, I enjoyed that too. I thought the movie was more episodic and a new adventure each scene, which was refreshing and exciting. They really just cut out anything that connects to the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And the film really just, like I said before, it honed in on what it should have been all about, which is the Hobbit, Bilbo. So that was my kind of understanding from watching this. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. If I would watch it again, I don't know. But like you said, I'd love to watch other fan edits and see what other things can be done.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely that it definitely served its purpose very, very well. And we've all kind of been trying to, like, we've all kind of hoped for an edit of The Hobbit, which kind of cut out a lot of that kind of extra stuff that felt like filler. And as you said, there, every new scene felt more episodic, the way that the book feels as well.
Yeah.
And it was really, really good. I really, really enjoyed it. As you said as well, would I watch it again? I'd say I probably wouldn't. And again, I would put that mainly down to the quality that we watched it in, which was I can't remember the size of the file. It was about, it wasn't a tiny file. It was probably still, you know, 3 or 4 gigabytes. But as I said, there are other versions out there that maybe if I do, I probably will watch another version or two, because I think every year more get made by other, like, you know, and the technologies of, you know, being able to edit things and keep that same quality is getting better and better. So I imagine that, and as I said, I already saw one online, which is like a 40 gigabyte version, which you can download into like 2 20 gig files as well. So maybe if I'm feeling, adventurous, I'll try and download that file and see, because I think that guy, he's got another big website that he edits things as well like that. And he explains that his main focus on his edit was to get the quality up to the same quality of the original movie. So that is quite important as well, I think, just for a general viewing experience. But in terms of the actual movie itself, it was, really refreshing to see a movie in that way, and to see the story being focused solely on Bilbo and having the dwarves alongside Bilbo being the main characters. And that's basically it.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering now if there is such a fan edit that completely cuts out most of Bilbo's story and the Hobbit storyline and just kind of centers around the adventures Gandalf. Of Gandalf and Saruman and the White Council and going
and Radagast.
And maybe a couple of Legolas scenes in there with Tauriel just like talking about random stuff.
Yeah, the Hobbit without the Hobbit. And
could be cool. There could be like the appendices, and you can make a full on movie about that, because it's like, look at how much was cut. And then just a big random battle at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
With loads of CGI, like orcs and trolls, and there were so many other Legolas random beasts.
Hanging on to the bottom of some some pigeon just flying along. And what is it? He's got a bat, isn't he? He hangs on to the bat. And he's pulling its leg like it's steering a parachute. It. And that's going to like obviously direct the bat into wherever he wants to go. So
Peter Jackson definitely ripped that straight from his own movie of King Kong. Do you remember when there's a scene where all the bats are flying around King Kong and one of the girls just like grabs onto a bat and like flies away?
That's right. So,
very similar to Legolas. And also, I just thought of this now, but one of the best things that they cut from the movie was also Legolas's scene with Thranduil at the end, where Thranduil goes, "There is a ranger up north. They call him Strider. You should search him out." And you're like, Aragorn, is he, what age is he? Is he even born at this point? Yeah, he probably is born.
Yeah, he is.
He's a child, like. So
yeah, but again, it's just such a name drop.
Like. I know, yeah. It's like, can we get Viggo for this movie? No, he says he's not around during The Hobbit. Oh, okay, let's just name drop him, but just say Strider. Like, you're not going to get a nickname of Strider when you're like 5, 6, I don't know what age he is. 6 years old.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, he still would have been probably in his like late 30s or so, because it's like, yeah, because he's 87 and this is about like 50 years before The Lord of the Rings, I suppose. Is it 50 or 6 years before The Lord of the Rings? Sorry, it's about 6 years before The Lord of the Rings. So then he would have been like, I don't know, 37 or no, 27.
Aragorn.
Yeah, because Bilbo's like 50, isn't he?
I don't know. I feel like for some reason I thought Aragorn was a child, but also I feel like you're right.
No, I think Bilbo is 50 at the beginning of the Hobbit.
Yeah. Let me check here.
Or am I just thinking that Frodo is 50 at the beginning of The Lord of the Rings? I think it's the same though.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just reading it here and it says, yes, Aragorn would have been about 10 years old during the Battle of the Five Armies. Aragorn was born in the year 2931 in the era known as the Third Age. Meanwhile, Bilbo Baggins' quest to reclaim the Lonely Mountain alongside the dwarves began in 2941, which is exactly a decade later, and it lasted approximately 13 months. So it would have been like... he probably would have been about 11 during the Battle of the Last Army. So I don't know where the inconsistency is, because you're right. He is 87 in Return of the King. Oh, but it's the 17-year gap.
Yeah, that's what
that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Ah,
because I said 27, so if he's 10...
Yeah. Because the whole Lord of the Rings is like, it's within a year in the movie, but in the book, it's like 17/18 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So there, solved, mystery solved. But anyways, so that's that. We both enjoyed the movie. If you guys have seen the Cardinal Cut of The Hobbit, please let us know and give us your thoughts and opinions on it as well. Are there any other fan edits that you guys have seen that you want us to have a look at? Please let us know by messaging us on our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. But yeah.
If any of you are ever passing Bag End, tea is at 4. There's plenty of it. You are welcome anytime.
Segway, Johnny, it was nice having you over for the Christmas here in Ireland. Would you like to tell the listeners what we got up to or what goodies you got from Santa?
Yeah, it was great. We had a really nice Christmas this year. Extended Christmas this year because we had a little bit of a COVID breakout, unfortunately.
We got COVID for Christmas.
Yeah, that's what Santa brought. So we all got COVID in our family. So we were all isolating together in the house, which was not ideal. But for that reason, I had to extend my trip by an extra week. So I was actually home for a week longer than expected, which was... I mean, the bright side was we were at home. We didn't really have any bad symptoms. So we were just kind of chilling and had extra time to spend with the family. And
it was an unexpected journey.
It was an unexpected extended
edition.
Edition, yeah. So that was nice. But yeah, Dave mentioned it there. Some nice little goodies that Santa brought. So there were plenty of Lord of the Rings themed gifts given this year in our house. So Dave and I both got the 4K Lord of the Rings.
I'm so excited.
Extended discs. So yeah, I haven't watched it yet because I wanted to get back and watch The Hobbit, and I had to catch up on a few other things, but I'm going to be watching that very soon and I'm very, very excited. So it's going to be great. So we both got that. I think we both got calendars as well.
Yeah.
Which are Lord of the Rings calendars that were... is it Ted Naismith that illustrated them calendars? I think it's Ted Naismith.
Yeah.
With all of his Lord of the Rings illustrations. So yeah, that was that. And then Dave and I also got matching Lord of the Rings t-shirts, which you may have seen if you follow our Twitter or our Instagram accounts. I think we put the pictures up there as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, anything else? Lord of the Rings, I can't remember. I think
we got the jigsaw as well. You got a jigsaw.
Ah, yes. I got a cool jigsaw, like a 1,000-piece puzzle, which we did. And it was really difficult because...
it's all like one color.
It was so orange much of like, brown, this kind of muddy color. And it was quite difficult. But yeah, it was good. We got it done in jig time.
And like you guys might have seen that on Twitter, but you might have seen it on our TikTok, which we joined over the Christmas. Don't judge us, but if you're into that sort of thing, give us a follow on TikTok. It's Ash the Melonheads. So remember, that's melon with two L's. So the Melonheads, at the Melonheads on TikTok.
There you go.
And we haven't posted for a while because I don't know what we're doing on there. Like, I don't know how to figure it out. Seems like it takes as long as recording a podcast to edit a video on TikTok that gets like...
I don't even know what a TikTok is.
No, it's a song by Kesha, I believe.
I thought it was one of those things that you eat when you've got bad breath.
Ah, that's a tactic. No, that's a thing that Man United don't have.
Zero tactics.
Hobbits.
Yeah, what else we get? I got the, actually from Johnny, I got the Illustrated World of Tolkien by David Day, which is a really cool looking book. I still haven't started or got into it yet, but it's got loads of really cool images on it. And it was funny as well, when I actually got the book, I was like, by David Day. And I got thrown off. I thought it was personalized and Johnny got a book for David Day, like renaming Christmas David Day. And I was like, this is the best day ever. And then I realized there's a guy called David Day. So that That sucks. But
downer.
Yeah, but like even just the feel of the book as well, it just feels like a suede jacket or something like that. It feels really nice. So it's a cool book. So I'm looking to get into it. What else? We're also, both of us are kind of powering through, well, slowly powering through the Silmarillion because we want to get that finished before starting into the show that's coming up this year. So that's going swimmingly. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Flying through.
Also, I never asked you about how are you getting on with Boba Fett? We're 3 episodes in now. Are you enjoying it?
I haven't seen the 3rd episode yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so we watched the first 2 together at home, but now I've come back to Spain and my girlfriend wasn't with us when we watched those episodes, so I'm going to actually go back and watch the first 2 episodes with her and then carry on from there. So I've only been home a few days, so in that time we've watched the Hobbit movie and we've also watched a couple of episodes of The Witcher, and we also finished Wheel of Time. So we I haven't had the time.
That's
another
thing.
I haven't had the time, Dave.
Yeah, I know. We're so busy.
Yeah, I haven't had the Wheel of Time.
The Wheel of Time, that's another one that I was very late hopping on the bandwagon for that, because I know loads of people on Twitter were talking about it for ages and I've just been away from the conversation completely. But the Wheel of Time.
Oh yeah, so that's something else that I did over Christmas. I rewatched episodes 1 to 7 of the Wheel of Time because I had watched maybe 7 or 6 episodes, I can't remember. And then I came home for Christmas and Dave hadn't seen any of them. So I said to him that it was definitely worth watching. So I was very happy to watch those episodes again. And then eventually, I think we caught up and then you went ahead and watched the last episode or two before me. And so you got to see the end before I did. So it was a bit of a,
that was good.
Switcheroo.
Yeah, I feel like this year is just going to be full of, well, Wheel of Time was last year, but like, I feel like this year that we're in, the next 365 days are going to be full of fantasy. We've got Lord of the Rings, we've got The Witcher, we've got Wheel of Time. We've got a new Harry Potter movie coming out. I don't know, does that count as fantasy? We got Game of Thrones, isn't that coming out as well? The House of the Dragon.
So. House of the Dragon, is that,
Jesus,
is
yeah.
that this year?
I what think about it might be this year. Yeah.
What about Obi-Wan Kenobi or Kenobi?
Kenobi.
It's called Kenobi, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no release date
on
that.
That won't be out, no.
That'll be out this year. That definitely will. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it'll be out. I'd say after Boba Fett is finished, we're probably going to start getting trailers. I'd imagine.
Yeah, I suppose.
I think that's the... Well, I don't know. Who knows in this crazy world? But I think it'll be out... maybe at the end of the summer.
You heard it here first, folks.
I have the inside scoop. I also wanted to say to you as well that was it 2 nights ago that we watched Between Two Ferns, the movie. Have you seen it?
I have, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was class. I loved it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it for ages, so I don't really remember too much, but I remember really enjoying it. So I love Between Two Ferns anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Zach Galifianakis and... Yeah, it's really, really good.
I remember seeing the trailer and I was thinking, oh, this might be a big kind of, not really about Between Two Ferns at all, but more just like the whole story that they invent. But they have loads of Between Two Ferns interviews.
Yeah.
And it's
definitely the best part. Like,
oh, yeah, 100%. But even all the rest of the stuff is just pure gold as well. And Will Ferrell's scenes are so funny. Like, my God, he was hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down into my belly.
So anyways, since the last time we were on the pod, we have been involved in a pretty crazy feud, inverted commas, with the Tolkien Society. And I'm pretty sure most people that are listening to this would have seen it in some capacity. Now, I wouldn't call it a feud between us and the Tolkien Society, but more so the Tolkien Society and the entire internet. But for anyone that's unaware or just wants to hear our side to the story and the timeline of events, I'll explain it now. This will be the last time we address this, by the way. So to begin, on the 3rd of January, it was J.R.R. Tolkien's birthday, and I, Dave, decided to tweet on our joint Melonheads account a happy birthday tweet accompanied with one of the first pictures I found on Google of the man. It was shared a few times, and soon enough, maybe within the hour, the Tolkien Society tweeted underneath saying, "Do you have permission to use this image?" Now, I remember at the time I saw this response, but both myself and Johnny were more concentrated on watching Manchester United, so I hadn't responded immediately. But by the time the football match had ended and I had opened Twitter, I saw that there were already a few people defending us without our knowledge, responding to things like, why did they need permission to use a widely available image on the internet, amongst many other responses. The Tolkien Society had a few responses to these tweets stating that, quote, "It's our photo, we own the copyright, which we bought for £18,000 at auction." This is when I quickly responded saying that we were sorry and we didn't realize the image was copyrighted, and we both nervously awaited a reply to end the misunderstanding, but to no avail. Then shortly after, someone brought to our attention that the chair of the Tolkien Society was talking about us on his personal Twitter account and saying that, quote, "The Melonheads are sitting there laughing at us," which was grossly untrue, and we read the comments of people arguing with this individual, and he said the apology wasn't, quote, "heartfelt," and that they still haven't attributed the image. Now, like I've said many times, we're quite new to social media and Twitter especially, so after my dumbass had to Google what attribute meant, I realized that he must mean giving credit for the photo, similarly to how we give credit to an artist when we tweet their artwork, etc. So immediately I quoted the original photo and said, quote, "Brilliant photo from the Tolkien Society," and I tagged them thinking that this is what they wanted. Now, this is where some defenders of the Tolkien Society took the tweet as sarcasm or insincere, when in reality we were both nervous and wanted no beef with the famous Tolkien Society and with a Twitter page with almost 100,000 followers. I don't believe anyone truly thinks we were being sarcastic, but this was some people's fuel for their side of the story. At this point, the tweet was gaining a little bit of momentum and people were jumping in by saying that we didn't have to apologize and posting the photo in question in the comments section. There were also many, many people claiming that this falls under the fair use policy and that we did nothing wrong. Fair use is a doctrine that permits limited use of copyrighted material without having to first acquire permission for the copyright holder. With literally everyone backing us up and supporting us, myself and Johnny finally felt a little bit more relieved that no laws were broken. The next day, and in the evening particularly, the tweet was really starting to blow up and people were left, right and centre commenting non-stop the Tolkien picture to many varying edits and posting humorous comments. And that night, maybe regrettably, I tweeted the original image myself again and saying good night with a winky face. Now, at the time I tweeted it, it was harmless and nobody that I had seen was being abusive, and in the words of Bilbo, it was just a bit of fun.
Yeah, that was over 24 hours after we had any sort of a contact from the Tolkien Society, and at that, as Dave said, we were a little bit nervous and a little bit anxious for quite a while because we didn't want any beef with such a huge organization, so we were a little bit, you know, unsure as to what to do, and we wanted to try and like clear up this mess immediately. So that's why then when we saw apparently our apologies didn't seem heartfelt, that was when we got a little bit frustrated and we thought that we don't know what else we can do. And so the next day when everybody else, and this image was being shared so like incredibly, being like plastered all over the internet with like people doing their own little versions, putting top hats and monocles and mustaches and sunglasses on Tolkien, and it became a bit of a joke and a bit of a meme.
Yeah,
and that's when we started to kind of relax and actually start. I remember Dave, you and I were standing in the kitchen and we were constantly hitting refresh, and every time we hit refresh, it would say 20 more notifications. You'd do it immediately again to be another 25. It was completely going crazy. Mm. And that's when we started to think, okay, well, it looks like everybody has realized that this is a bit of fun now, and we said we'll post our own meme of, and we initially spoke about maybe let's do our own little Photoshop and like do something silly, like put some glasses or like a colorful tie on Tolkien or something. But I think you said, no, maybe people will think that we're being disrespectful, so maybe let's just share the original image again. And that's what we did.
Exactly. The next few days after that is when people started abusing the Tolkien Society non-stop and fighting in the comments section. I admittedly turned off my notifications for a lot of threads because our phones were just blowing up and we were getting tired of the whole thing. And we just wanted to enjoy our time off. Like, remember, this is over the Christmas holidays. Johnny had just come back and we wanted to spend time together and enjoy our time off and not just be on our phones constantly worrying about some internet problem that's going on. But that's when people started villainizing the Tolkien Society, and many Tolkien Society members defended them through varying Twitter accounts. We didn't comment on any tweets and didn't really like any tweets either, so as to avoid backlash. The Tolkien Society decided to block their accounts as they were being spammed and said they did so for the mental well-being of a volunteer that initially responded to our tweet with, "Do you have permission to use this image?" After a few days, when it all cooled down, we put out a statement on how we felt about the situation and how we never intended any of it to happen and didn't incite any of it and don't want to treat the Tolkien Society as monsters for a small mistake. With the viral madness came lots of lies about us individually, our podcast, our Twitter account, and our side of the story. People villainized us. When we tweeted things earlier, people used those very tweets later to manipulate the situation to suit their side of the story. People claimed we were sarcastic in our two apologies. People blamed us for starting this when there was no way we could have known what would happen. People attacked us for not deleting tweets. People said we knew exactly what we were doing. When we decided to leave the toxicity of the situation, one user even said that our silence was damaging. When in reality, we were extremely anxious about the whole thing, and it was way bigger than we ever could have foreseen. There was an actual movement happening and a new conversation being started about fair use, NFTs, and can images be shared even when copyrighted. Our name was being attached to places where it didn't belong, when in reality, we had no part to play in it other than posting the tweet in the very beginning. Now, we know that Twitter can be toxic and manipulative, and other social medias as well, and the last thing we want is for individuals who have made mistakes to be berated endlessly and actually negatively affect their mental health. They made a mistake, everyone knows, we have made plenty of mistakes ourselves. We can move on. We have no hard feelings. Sorry that that took a while, but I wanted the full timeline out there so people can understand what really happened. So yeah, any last things to add there, John?
Well, not really. I suppose that's, Dave and I, we kind of wanted to address this in this podcast as well, because obviously it's something that happened quite recently and it's kind of calmed down a little bit now, which is good, but there was definitely a week of kind of madness there. And as Dave said, yeah, we had to just turn off our notifications on our phones because it was just like, I mean, as I said, there was definitely two or maybe 3 days where we were literally receiving, you know, you were getting about 25, 30 notifications a second.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. Like we couldn't handle it. So we kind of, for that reason, maybe ignored a lot of what was going on and then didn't realize that our silence was damning or whatever. But
like, I don't know about you, but for a lot of it I just felt like damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like anything you would tweet, if like again, this probably isn't very wise and I'll definitely change how I do it as well, but a lot of times as I get notifications, sometimes I just like them without reading them and then I'll go and read them. But like I remember seeing that somebody had like screenshotted different things that we had liked and I was like, this is the first time I'm seeing this tweet. And you know, like different things like, well, why did he like this tweet here and why did the metalheads like this? And you know, and I'm like, God, if people are really calling you up for liking a tweet, you know, I don't know. Like there was also somebody did,
I feel like Marcus Rashford.
Yeah.
I saw Marcus Rashford liked a tweet that said,
congratulations, like another player that plays for a different club. Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, is he moving? Yeah, no, yeah. Like, don't read into it too much, guys. Like, if we like something, it might be I sat on my phone or something. I don't know. Like,
Or we're watching a match on TV or watching a movie and we're just like scrolling at the same time and just like liking that people are commenting on some images.
After that, like I just felt like we couldn't say anything unless, you know, we had absolute full concentration. You sat down at a table and you were able to like respond to someone. Like we just didn't want to respond to anyone because it was it was affecting us negatively as well. You know, we were trying to enjoy our Christmas and there was people just berating us online, and there were some pretty big accounts that were members of the Tolkien Society that were blasting us, and we didn't really feel like it was fair, and we just didn't want to be in that situation.
We just want to make it very clear that there was absolutely no malice intended on our part, and that basically it was just something that got completely blown out of proportion and got it was taken a little bit out of hand and taken too far. Basically, we wanted to post an image to say happy birthday to J.R.R. Tolkien.
That was it.
And that was it. And then because of that, and again, as Dave said there, most of the initial responses were to the Tolkien Society were from other users, and they were not, if you saw them online as well, there's a lot of screenshots of what the Tolkien Society's quotes were. You will see that we are not the ones responding to those comments. There's other users saying things like, why do they need permission? And that was not our own words.
Yeah, we never said any of that. And there was lots of conversations where I saw like arguments and fights where people were defending the Tolkien Society and using us and saying, well, they think this. And then people that were defending us were saying, no, they think this. And I was like, no one knows what.
True.
You know,
yes.
Like,
and also people have said defense, that.
But like we.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We
exactly.
Didn't say
we
a lot
are,
of those
we,
things.
We are very thankful that a lot of people stepped in and defended us because they could see that we are a small podcast and the Tolkien Society is an enormous society that has Tolkien's name attached to it, and that Tolkien himself used to be the president of this society. Mm. So obviously a massive and very famous society. So people kind of saw that it was people basically, you know, we're kind of being bullied by this huge society throwing its weight around, and we're kind of the underdog in a situation, so people kind of stepped in and supported us. So we're very thankful for that. But then also, we don't want people to speak for us and put words in our mouth. So we want to make it clear that it kind of got out of hand. And basically, after our initial tweet of happy birthday, we didn't really respond until, as I said, it was Dave that was using the account that day that he said. He apologized to the Tolkien Society and attributed the photo as they had asked. And after that, I don't think tweeted again until maybe we shared the image the second time with the tweet saying good night.
There was a couple of other tweets in between there, but they were just nothing to do with this. You know, we tweet every day pretty much of just like random memes or things like that. And you know, I thought the situation, we both thought the situation would die down quickly, but it really started gaining momentum a couple of days after the initial.
Yeah, it was
tweet.
Like day three and day four where things really started to explode. So it was kind of crazy.
But even I was a little bit disappointed where, you know, there was the day where some big famous YouTuber, I can't remember his name now, but he made a video about us, and I just literally wanted to retweet that thing because we were in the video and he was talking about us, and I was like, this is pretty cool. And then people were blasting us saying, oh, why are you retweeting these trolls? I'm like, this isn't a troll, this is a famous YouTuber that's talking about us. And you know, there was a couple of even when we were in the newspaper in the Sun, and I was like, this is cool, our podcast has been mentioned in the newspaper. But I knew for a fact, no matter what I tweeted, people were going to start hounding us. So I was like, I'm not going to mention anything about the Tolkien Society. I'm just going to tag the newspaper and say, really cool for our podcast to be in a newspaper. And then straight away, people were like, you're attacking the Tolkien Society. You're this, you're villainizing them. I'm just like, no, just fuck
off.
Yeah,
I know. It was quite a lot of comments of people saying that we are responsible for everything that's posted on our page, meaning that we post an image and it gets hundreds of thousands of shares and comments, and suddenly we are the ones that are responsible for everything that is said in the comments of those retweets and shares. I mean, I think it's a bit ridiculous. And so I kind of, anybody with two brain cells can look at the situation and realize, okay, these are just guys celebrating Tolkien's birthday, and it got all thrown a bit out of proportion. And yeah, I think people, maybe they were bored over the Christmas holidays.
I
and
think
they were
so.
Looking for something to do. They were looking for a new movement to join.
And a lot of people did say, like, well, why didn't you delete the tweets? And that as soon as you delete those tweets, that's
you look
when
more
all the,
guilty.
Yeah, and that's when all the messages start piling in. Look at these lads deleting their tweets. They're clearly guilty. They're, and why should we delete tweets? Like, if we didn't
exactly,
do anything
like, we've
wrong,
nothing to be. I don't. Yeah, I don't think we've anything to feel badly about or anything to feel that we did.
No.
I don't know that we should feel sorry for. Really, I mean, the Tolkien Society protected their account and so blocked all their tweets. But that doesn't matter because people have screenshotted all their tweets anyway. So if we delete our tweets, people have already screenshotted them and they'll just use them against us anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But look, we got some new listeners because of that. So welcome if this is your first time hearing the Melonheads talk about Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. So, but yeah, again, guys, thank you so much. We do have some really amazing fans out there who... they will say anything to defend us. Thank you and no thank you. But yeah, we're really appreciative of some of you guys out there. So yeah, is there anything else to add or will we just finish on that bombshell?
It was good. It's good to put it out there. And as you said as well, it's nice to just say, look, this is everything and we don't want to come back and talk about this again because we've already had too many hours of our lives just... trying to argue our own side of the story online and thinking about what the Tolkien Society are going to do. Because yeah. there was definitely a few hours and maybe the first day that we were quite nervous and quite anxious because we didn't know what was going to happen. And then there was the big feeling of relief and that kind of weight off our shoulders when initially people just started spamming the Tolkien Society. And we did think it was quite funny at the time when just that image was being shared just nonstop all over the internet. That was quite funny. And so that was, again, that was one of the reasons we reshared the image because we were feeling such relief.
Yeah.
And we were so caught up in the moment, I suppose. But yeah, it's nice to just put this chapter behind us and say, let's carry on and get back to our actual content at hand, which is just looking at stuff that we love about Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. The road goes ever on and on.
The road goes ever on and on. And how far ahead the road goes.
So that concludes this bonus episode of the Council of Elrond. We know you guys are looking forward to season 2, well, some of you are anyways, and it is coming, but not for a few weeks yet. We hope you did, however, enjoy this breakdown of the Cardinal Cut edition of The Hobbit. Check the links in the podcast description for the free download, and you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now TikTok accounts, I guess. You can let us know your thoughts on this episode, and whether you've seen the Cardinal Cut, what changes you would have made, and what other fan edits are out there that are worth checking out. Also, a special thank you to our members on buymeacoffee.com. And if you'd like to become a member, our link for that is also in the podcast description. We understand that there has been some strange issues with their website of late, but we are thinking of moving to Patreon, so hang tight. Thank you guys so much for being the best fans in the world, and we cannot wait to get back to our weekly episodes. Until next time, however... goodbye.